Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. I wanted to start the year off with this series that I've called 5 years from now. And what this series is, it goes beyond just this mindset of, okay, I'm setting these personal goals in my life, and this is what they are. Here's my list. And some of you guys are really good. Excuse me, my wire's all jacked up. Some of you guys are really good at, you know, here's my goals. Here's, you know, what I've got planned. Here's what I have envisioned. And you stick with that. Some of us will make a resolution, will make a goal, and last, what, 12 hours maybe before it's given up on? Like, I'm drinking less sodas. Oh, that Pepsi looks amazing. You know, come my way. Yeah, I'm going to go to the gym. You know, pay for membership, and then you don't go back. So we're good at that. But we're not talking about those types of goals. We're talking about, as a Christian, what does the next 5 years look like? What does it look like for me, my family, my church, and how am I going to be involved in that growth? Because as a Christian, there has to be growth. There should be growth. It shouldn't be, well, maybe I'll grow. No, what are you doing to make sure that that happens? If you did that in a career, if you're like, I'm going to climb the ladder, but I'm never going to give more than 50%, then you're not climbing that ladder. You're going to remain stagnant. You're going to remain where you're at, saying, I deserve more. I deserve more pay. I deserve more attention. I deserve more responsibilities. But we're not doing anything to prove we're actually living out our responsibilities and earning our keep where we're at. And the same is true with our Christian walk. I see so often Christians that, you know, grow up in church so many times that they'll say, you know, I had youth that would come, I want to get baptized. And like, that's awesome. This is the beginning. And you know, it's like I drill it through their head. This is the beginning. This is the start. And then they're like, all right, thanks. You know, they got baptized. And then it's their golden ticket. Like, I'm going to heaven. And you don't see them anymore in church. They see that. That's the finish line. I did what I'm supposed to do. I'll go to church every now and then. You know, because the Christian life has turned into just a checklist, not, you know, this is now my commitment. This is now what I'm giving to God. This is my act of worship, my sacrifice. My life is now God's. And again, that's the society that we live in, unfortunately. But it's easy to blame society when really we are society and we make it what it is. And that's why many times when we think, okay, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you know, I might have my beard back by then. We'll see. But, you know, 5 years from now, we typically think about, you know, in the snapshots, you know, what's the 1 year mark? What's the 5 year mark? The 10 year? Am I going to be retired? Am I going to be out of debt? Am I going to be married? Are we going to have kids? Am I going to be in a new career? Am I going to go back to school? Maybe, you know, this, you know, year 10 is when we're finally make that trip. I promised my wife 13 years ago that we're going to Hawaii. You know, we're finally going to do it. That's my personal. I've told my wife our 10 year anniversary. We're going to Hawaii. We're year 13. It didn't happen. So, I haven't been to Hawaii yet. Sorry, love, wherever you are. Hey, yeah. Yeah, that was 10 years we're going to Hawaii, but we haven't. So if any pastor's appreciation month is October, you guys, I'm going to put in my order now. It gives you time. We can start a new account, okay? No, I'm just playing with you guys. But of course, we think of, okay, 5 years from now, will I be healthier? Will I be maybe a little worse off than I am now? Will I finally finish that school? Will I finally get that degree? And typically, it's, you know, our five-year goals are more along the material and the physical things, the physical relationship, our physical health, our physical possessions, our wealth, our portfolio, if you will. And I think we're honest enough to admit that, yes, we're selfish in our mindset, to admit, I'm honest enough to admit that, yes, when I look ahead, my goals, my priorities is, you know, pay off the house, make sure that the kids, you know, get a good education, what we can give them, that we train them up right, that we do everything. Maybe we'll, you know, might not have a new car, but this one's going to be paid off. You know, whatever it is, it's, we're honest enough to admit, yes, I'm selfish in my goals and my choices of looking ahead, because they're all material, they're all physical. And yes, part of that is the society we live in. We are teaching our kids, okay, look to the future, little Billy. What do you want to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a policeman, a firefighter. You know, none of them are. I'm going to be like age. I'm going to be a preacher. No, nobody says that. But, you know, where do you want to go to school, little man? You know, that's, again, it's not I'm going to start a career. It's you got to go to school. You got to do this. We're teaching kids, look to these physical things, these possessions. You know, if you do this, you're not going to make a whole lot of money. Just ask your neighbor down the road, you know, or ask me, you know, ask Allison. Those teachers, you don't want to be a teacher. They deal with a lot of mess. You know, we're telling kids, here's your future based on the decisions you make now. What are you going to go to school for? Where are you going to go to school? Who do you think you marry? You know, what type of individual are you looking for? What are you going to be when you finally grow up? Some of you adults are like, I'm still trying to figure that out too, all right? And maybe that's the case. And the sad reality, though, is rarely do we ask ourselves or our kids, where do you see your spiritual life in 5 years? Will your life reflect that of Jesus more so in 5 years? Will you be better at praying? Because unfortunately, a lot of Christians, I'm just not good at praying. Well, are you practicing? Well, I don't know what to say. Begin. Just talk to God. Will I be more confident? Will I be better at praying? Will I have a better devotional life? Will you, as my sons, as they grow a little older, am I going to focus less on what are you going to do? What's your career choice? Say, no, is your life reflecting Jesus now? And in 5 years, is your life going to be a better reflection? Is your devotional life going to continually grow? Will you be more confident in your prayer life? Will you be more confident in approaching people and telling them about your Lord and Savior? You know, what are your goals? And why do we not push these for ourselves? Why don't we push them on our children? We, even in Christian households, it's one of those things, well, that just comes with the territory. I take them to church. No, that doesn't necessarily come with the territory. We have the responsibility, and that is, I have as pastor, there's a lot of responsibility, you know, to really shepherd and to disciple and to be a part of your lives. But my greatest ministry, and I've told you guys, and you'll continue to hear it, is my wife and my two boys. That is my first ministry that God put me on this earth for. That is a huge responsibility as parents, as husband, as wife, to raise these children up in a proper way. And the way we do that is by letting them see the right goals to set. But again, we're so focused on the society that is, here's the achievement, here's the success, here's what's going to make you a great man, what's going to make you great money. And that's our society's teaching them, this is achievement, this is success, this is what you want to be. Look at that person over there. That is success when you get older. You know, it's become dependent on the number of degrees you have hanging on the wall, the size of your house, the school you attended, or the school your kids go to. You're like, oh, what school is little Billy attending? And you tell your friends, they're like, oh, well, we'll see how that goes. You know, we are judged on where we go to school. We're judged on the size of the portfolio. Some people are very happy to tell you the size of their retirement portfolio or their stocks. You know, we're taught. And then, of course, we teach the next generation that, look, this is success. Rarely, even as Christians, is the spiritual state a determining factor, even in our homes today, even in the lives of Christian leaders. You know, it's you're so focused on other things, other determining factors that, you know, growth for our children, growth for ourselves is a non-negotiable, non-discuss of thing, because he just, oh, we'll grow. Of course we'll grow. Of course we're going to be better Christian. But if we're not doing anything to grow, then you're not going to see any growth. And the reason being, I think one of the, apart from society, yes, we can blame that. That's fine. Blame it. They've been doing it for thousands of years as humans. We can continue. But we also have to look inwardly and see the sad factor that many Christians don't think that my role as a believer involves growth. And that is a sad reality. We say, look, I go to church. I even attend a small group. I even do this. I even volunteer. I give. But they're not growing as an individual Christian. You know, that's why we'll hear people say, look, I grew up in church. I was taught this stuff early on. I really don't need any more of these lessons. I don't need any more of this theology. I've got it. Let's move on. I figured it out. Well, if you figured out, you're better off than me, and I want to learn from you. But the truth is, when we are told that, when we say that, we need to realize that's false. That is heresy, to think that we've got it figured out. We're good where we're at. There's no need for growth as a Christian. But again, if salvation, baptism, and attending church as a child is all we were designed for, then why would Paul, as we're looking through Philippians, talk about the process as a believer, the growth as a believer? And I want to jump into Philippians right now. He's talking about, you know, to these people. He loved this church. He loved this church that he actually helped to start. It was a beautiful church, a lot of great believers that supported Paul, and he wanted to help see that growth, help allow them to flourish as a church. And it says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance. And I don't know why I saw lowercase. I wouldn't do that on purpose. But for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He was determined. He was focused and reminding them, look, guys, this is a process. This is something you're going to work on as a believer. And he's saying the Christian life, your life as a believer, is set aside for God's purpose. You have a purpose. There is a role. There is more to this than saying, I believe, I got baptized, and I attend church every now and then, or even attend church regularly. It is well beyond that, and he wanted the Philippian church to see that. He doesn't want, as far as God looking at our lives, looking at that relationship, he doesn't say, look, I just want you to change certain times, certain rituals. No, he's saying there's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a complete change in our life, in our very core, who we are, and that needs to reflect Jesus Christ. And is that going to be instantaneous? Of course not. I had many kids, asked after baptism, like, well, I don't feel different. I'm like, well, right now, you're really not, other than you now have God's Spirit at work in your life, beginning that process. You're going to possibly, maybe you'll notice that guilt seems to be a little stronger now. I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. Well, me neither, buddy, but that's part of it. It helps us see our errors. It helps us see things that need to change, but it is a process. And this is what Paul is referring to as the sanctification of a Christian. It's a big word, but it's, you hear, oh, that's one of them Christian words. Yes, one of those Christian words that we use. Sanctification is the growth, is the advancement, is the continual moving forward to become more like Christ. Sanctified. Of course, we wouldn't claim ourselves, I'm sanctified, dignified, whatever, fill in all these words. We don't want to say that out loud. People start thinking you're humble like your preacher, But I'm the best at being humble, by the way. But no, we use that word and we don't look at ourselves as sanctified. But as a believer, that process should be there where we're moving to be more like Christ. Because God desires to sanctify us, to transform our lives to reflect that of Jesus Christ. Sanctification begins as, we've accepted Christ. God has now set us apart as his children. We see that in 1 Corinthians 6. However, God continues this transformation for the believer from the inside out to slowly, over time, knowing, yes, there's still going to be struggles. Yes, there's still going to be temptation. Yes, you live in a fallen world, and things that you don't like, you don't want to see happen to you, make you question, make you doubt, but you're going to hold on. You're going to grow. You're going to allow this process of what we call life to slowly begin to be sanctified, to be more like Christ. And so that's why Paul is beginning this letter here to the Philippians by saying, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's saying God is producing transformed lives in this church and in believers. When we accepted Christ, when these first, the first church in Philippi, they began to begin the process as not just saying, okay, we're believers, yes, we see who Jesus is, but no, now this is a race, as Paul taught it. This is something we're going to work on until the day we leave this earth. And he's going to continue it in the church that we call it until Christ returns. It is a process. And that's why, you know, I would say not just church attendance, not just, you know, even I would say go far as, you know, why church partnership is important, why discipleship and growth is important, why small groups are important. We don't just push it and say, oh, these are fun events. Yes, they can be fun and should be fun. But beyond that, they are also a part of this sanctification, part of this growth, part of this transformation as a believer. But it also goes to our personal times, our personal prayer life, our personal devotion. Every element, every aspect is a part of this sanctification. And I truly believe, some may say, well, I don't agree with you, but I believe it's not an option as a believer. We don't get to a point in our Christian walk where we say, I'm good to go, man. Again, if you get there, you're doing something better than me, brother. I wish I could learn from you, but we know that thought, that mindset isn't coming from Scripture and isn't coming from God. It's coming from a selfish part of us that wants to remain where we are, wants us to remain away from this process called sanctification. Because I promise you, that is not a thought that we see played out in Scripture. It's not what Jesus tells us. It's not what the apostles tell us. It's not anything a part of our Christian life. It is growth that we see. It is, in fact, Paul talking about this Christian walk is actually a race. It means it is demanding. It means there's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be a process. There's anytime there's growth, there is going to be, you know, may, not physical pain, but maybe some emotional pain, some spiritual pain of God, you know, why is this? God, what is going on here? Asking these questions that may raise doubt, but then allowing the process to gain confidence, gain a little bit more knowledge, gain a stronger faith. You know, it is taking away the mindset of this Christian immaturity that is so easily, you know, adopted, so easily taken on as a believer where, okay, I got baptized, I'm good. This, again, that mindset of the golden ticket as a believer, we need to avoid. And that's what Paul's saying. This is a race. This is a process. And he thought so much of the church that he's saying, look, I want you to see that this is the beginning for you. This is no, you know, no pivotal or climax point in your life or in this community, in this town where, all right, we've got our church. We're good. We'll attend. We'll do a little bit here and there. No, this is the beginning. This is a process. And that's why, again, Paul thinking so much about them. He talks about the support that they gave him, the support that he's given back in return. He wants them to see that this mindset of plateauing, as easy as it may be to adopt, so as easy it may be to get into that mindset, he said, I don't want you to cling to this. I want you to see that you need to grow as a Christian. He is again saying, this is not an option as a believer. There should be day after day a growth, a change, a becoming more like Christ as a church and as individuals. Because this church, it meant a lot to Paul. It was founded by Paul, you know, some about 11 years before this letter was written. And what's cool, it was actually the first church established on Europe, in the continent of Europe. So not just because that was important, but again, Paul being a part of these believers, this discipleship process. And then, of course, for us as the modern day church, he's showing them that this, again, is something that I know God will continue to work in your life, in your church, in your family until the day of completion. That doesn't mean you're going to see completion on this earth, because we're not going to see completion as a human race until Jesus Christ returns. But he's saying work towards that process. He remembered everything that they've done, and he wants to push them for even more. He wanted to make sure that the thoughts of remaining stagnant or complacent don't grab hold in the church. He already, again, this was the early church. This was the beginning. You say, oh, of course they were all on fire. Of course this wouldn't be a mindset. That's just the modern church that we deal with. No, early on, early believers were like, okay, this is it. I accepted. I was baptized. I believe. I go to church. I worship. I'm good, right? No, Paul's saying, no, this is the beginning of what God has done in your life and will continue to do. He knew it was easy for Satan to take this idea of grace and twist it into this mindset that says, well, you know, you're saved by grace, so there's your ticket. You don't need to learn anymore. You don't need to grow anymore. You've earned it, buddy. You've done it. Take your rest. You know, take it easy. Enjoy this life that God has given you. God has given you grace. God has covered you with his grace. God has blessed your life. But Paul's saying, you know, we see it in Romans 6, you know, that is a dangerous mindset that we don't need to grow, that we don't need to advance, that this grace that is so wonderful, so great, yo, I'll just keep on sinning. You know, Paul says that is not the mindset that we should be taking when we think about grace. Again, that is not from Jesus. That is not from Scripture. And it is not that we see from Paul. Each time we see the Christian life reference and what it means is constantly talking about the walk, the process. And again, that's why we see in many of Paul's letters, he's reminding them to continue that race. We see it in Colossians 1. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This was, again, Paul reminding this church, it is a process. This is a thing you need to set as far as goals, looking ahead. What is the next year? What's the next 5 years? Does it focus on this process of sanctification? Because when we say, God, I want to know your will for my life, well, sanctification is God's will for us. We see it in 1 Thessalonians, for this is God's will, your sanctification, your growth, your advancement as a believer. Not saying I'm going to one day be perfect, one day be great, one day have it all figured out. No, it's saying one day my life will hopefully, thanks to God, thanks to his scripture, thanks to a prayer life with him, will reflect more of him and less of me. And again, it's focused on this, the word saint. We are set apart as saints, as believers. It is this mindset of holiness. You know, when we sanctify something, we're setting it apart for special use. And so we are set apart. We are sanctified by Christ through his son, Jesus, set apart for a greater purpose than to just remain where we are, to never grow, never change, never advance. There is so much more to our Christian life than simple attendance or simple showing up or even simple giving and volunteering. That's why Jesus talked a lot about sanctification in John 17 when he says, talking about believers, talking about, you know, his followers, says, "Not they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." We are set apart. This now, as believers, we are not of this world. We are in it. We are living among it. We are still in the fallen state, but we are set apart for a bigger purpose because of Jesus, because of his Spirit at work in our lives. And so sanctification is a state of separation to God. All believers, yes, are set apart for God when we are born again. We see that in Hebrews 10:10, is where it says, by this will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Through salvation, the process begins. We are now set apart for God, for some special purpose, to advance his will, to glorify his name. We are set apart once we accept the gift of salvation. That is, again, the beginning of this process. And unfortunately, so many of us as believers look at this as, all right, I did it. This is the end. But it's, again, only the beginning, because then we are set free from every sin by the blood of Christ, but we still sin. We still have this process. We're not going to automatically now, no temptation can conquer me. No, I have many people say, I've still had the same sin, the same temptation as a believer. I thought it would be different. I say, no, this is still going to be there. It's still going to be a battle. But what sets you apart as a believer is being willing to fight that battle through the grace and power of Jesus Christ, by allowing him to change us over time, change these habits in a way that we can't do on our own. And that's why the Bible refers to sanctification, again, as this practical experience of life and obedience to Christ. When we say, I want to know God's will, it is to glorify him. It is to obey him. the more we do so, the more we become more like Christ. We find the old habits, the old ways, the old thoughts are now dwindling down because we're beginning to fill our lives, fill our minds with that of Jesus Christ. It is a growing in Christ through spiritual maturity. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because God has started this work of making us more like Christ. He did it on the cross saying, okay, this is a gift. This is what I offer you, a life set apart, a life with an eternity with me, a life offering you justification through my sacrifice. Now the process of sanctification begins. And as Paul reminds the Philippians, it is what God is going to continue in your life until the day Jesus Christ comes back. And this type of sanctification is and should be pursued earnestly by every believer. And we do so by applying and obeying God's word. As 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. Every time we see it, it is a process. God set himself apart for, or Jesus set himself apart for God's purpose so that we have the basis. We have the condition of our being set apart. He is that example. He is also the process by which we can, in the first place, be sanctified. Because we are sanctified and can see this process and set apart and sent because Jesus was. Jesus was sent to give us the example. Jesus was sent to allow this process of sanctification to even be possible by taking on our sin, taking on our shame, taking on our guilt, our wrath. He bore it on the cross so that he says, now this process can begin in your life to be set apart for something so much more than what this world can offer. And so his sanctification is the pattern and also the power of our own. And this sinning, this sanctifying are inseparable. On this account, we have been called sanctified ones. Prior to salvation, our behavior before, it was reflection of the world, reflection of just humanity as a whole. It's selfish living. It's focused on or what makes us feel good, what makes us happy. But now as a believer, now that we've been set apart and now we've been sent, it means everything is slowly to begin to reflect that new life. We are becoming more like Christ day in and day out, those of us who are being sanctified. And that's why Hebrews refers to it as being sanctified. Accepting Christ doesn't mean you are now obviously sanctified. It is a process of slowly becoming sanctified. Our walk with Christ is, again, that. It is a walk, a journey, a race, whatever word that you want to use. We always find in Scripture and references, it's always requiring a movement forward. The Christian life never characterized as a break, a pit stop, a rest, a vacation, or even a plateau. But yet, that's where we see a lot of Christians settling. I'm good. I've got this. But no, whenever we see an apostle, disciple, early Christian leader, any church, that we see, it's always referring to their relationship with Jesus, and it's always in motion. It's always a striving, a running. It's always a fight. It's never, referred to as stagnant. And that's why this process of sanctification is so important and so critical. And as I said, is not an option if we are believers. Unfortunately, though, our modern, again, mindset, even as Christians, the modern Christian thought, so-called theology even, is characterized as saved by grace, therefore go on as you want. You're saved by grace to be who you want. You can now, in God, do anything you ever imagine. It's this process that grace has, yes, set me free to live selfishly. Set me free to do everything I ever wanted to do because I'm covered by the grace of God. I'm good to go. Yes, grace is a beautiful thing. And yes, grace has set us free. But grace is what allows this process to begin because of Jesus' grace, his love on the cross. It begins the process in our lives. It begins the being sanctified in our walk. And so I hope that this series, yes, it may make you feel, you know what, I'm not quite the Christian I thought I was. Believe me, that it does it for me as well. That's why, you know, I tell you guys, whenever I preach a sermon, I first got to preach it to myself the entire week before. You know, I'm constantly, you know, tearing my own conscience apart. You know, just, man, if I'm going to say that, I've got to first say it to myself and realize, yes, my goals, when I look at 5 years, have been selfish, have been material. The way I raise my sons, unfortunately, has sometimes reflected, what are you going to do? What are you going to become? What are you, you know, what are your goals for becoming a great man in society? You know, we make this mindset, this, you know, the characterization of what we should be based on, you know, no debt, big house, you know, no car payment, good health, all these things. But it's always focused on, again, the material. It's always focused on a selfish mindset, and we're teaching that to our kids. And so it has been a great reminder, you know, reading through Philippians, and we'll continue through Philippians the next 2 weeks as we continue to talk about sanctification and the process of the importance of. So it's not a my goal to make anybody feel bad or feel as a failure as a Christian, but I do hope it may be a wake-up call to say, yes, maybe I don't have this thing all figured out. Maybe I'm not quite the believer I've made myself out to be. And so this can be the next step in our process of sanctification. And again, as anything, once we realize that, and maybe you just say, I've never understood what sanctification means. I've heard it, but I never knew that. But now I see the importance of it, and I want that in my life. If that's God's will for my life, then that's what I want to pursue. If that is what's going to glorify God, then that's what I want in my life and in the life of my family. So hopefully this series, by reading through Philippians, by looking at Paul's, you know, continual lessons on sanctification, we can begin that process and continue that process of being sanctified, being more like Christ. And so next week we'll look at why that is important. Because again, it's easy to say, well, I've got grace, I've got baptism, I've got salvation. Why is this even necessary? You told me, AJ, it's not an option, but really it is an option because I've chosen the latter my whole Christian walk. So why are you now telling me that this is very important? This is what I need to do because I've survived. I've done well enough as I am, just remaining in my happy little plateau. So hopefully we can see not just the importance of, but why we as believers should continue that growth until the day we die. So let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.